Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our Quran study session today, inshallah, I will discuss ghibat or backbiting. Brother Farid, a couple of months ago, suggested this topic because on several occasions he has told me that it is not entirely clear to him what constitutes ghibat or backbiting. And I'm sure he's not alone. I hear the exact same comment from other people. So I think it's a very good topic for my sermon today. Ghibat is a tricky subject to talk about and also to comprehend, because there is no clear boundary that would indicate in a conversation we have crossed over into ghibat. It is not entirely clear as to what constitutes ghibat. And I think this will become obvious to you as my sermon develops. What compounds the problem for us as Muslims is that there is only one verse in the Holy Quran that explicitly deals with ghibat or backbiting. And I will get to this verse shortly and elaborate on that. But this verse does not define what ghibat or backbiting is. It doesn't tell us what constitutes ghibat. On top of that, there is very little useful information, very little practical information about ghibat or backbiting in Islamic literature. Honestly, when Brother Farid asked me to talk about ghibat, it felt like he had thrown me under the bus for this very reason that I just shared with you, that there is scant authoritative information in Islamic literature that I can draw upon and share with you. Nonetheless, I will try my best to explain what ghibat is, and I will provide real-world examples, hopefully to make it easier to grasp this subject. But let me set the expectation straight at the very outset. No one can give you a cheat sheet that would tell you if in a given conversation you are backbiting. There is no such cheat sheet. As I will explain later, the onus is on you, the ethical person, a person who is very conscious of God, aware of God, and wants to do his or her utmost to not do something which violates the commandments of the Holy Quran. So we have to make judgment calls. Hopefully this sermon will give you some valuable, some good information to determine whether in a given conversation you are overstepping the boundaries and stepping into backbiting or ghibat. So let's begin. In the English language, there are two key words that many use interchangeably for ghibat. Those two words are gossip and backbiting. Gossip and backbiting. However, these two words are not really the same. Gossip is a broad category of speech, a broad category of conversation. Gossip can be verbal. It can be written as in a letter, or in the modern day, it can be digital. You can gossip in emails or in text messages. For whatever reason, human beings love to gossip. They love to share rumors. They love to talk about other people's secrets. There are many reasons for this, why people love to gossip. Perhaps because this sort of idle talk is a no-brainer. It's an easy way to spend time with others rather than having a deep conversation about a topic such as history, poetry, God, so on and so forth. Maybe it's because when we talk about others, it helps us to take our minds away from our own issues, to take our minds away from our own faults and flaws. So, invariably, we feel better when we gossip about others on the cheap. Now, in all world religions, in all spiritual traditions, gossip is considered a sin. Gossip is a very bad habit, a very bad behavior. It is an addiction. It can be an addiction. Gossip is a destructive habit. It can ruin lives. That's why in all world religions and spiritual traditions, gossip is considered a very bad thing. Now, backbiting or qibat is a subset of gossip. Qibat or backbiting is a subset of gossip. Qibat is a special case of gossip. It is a more severe form of gossip. If I were to borrow an analogy from the legal world, qibat, backbiting, is a capital offense, not a misdemeanor. There are variations of gossip that may be misdemeanor, bad, but yet misdemeanor, but qibat or backbiting is a capital offense. With this point in mind, let's see what Islam considers qibat or backbiting. Qibat comes from the root word qaba in Arabic language. Qaba means to go away, to be remote, be hidden, be secret, be unseen. Many of the familiar words we use, such as ghaib or qa'ib, they also come from the same root, qaba. For example, when the Quran talks about ghaib or the hidden dimension of this universe, that dimension of the universe that is hidden from our five senses, that comes from the exact same root that qibat is derived from. Qa'ib, as in Imam Qa'ib for the Shi'is, come from the same root. So qibat involves speech and conversation, where the person being talked about is away, is remote, or simply not present. Verse 12 in chapter 49, the only verse in the Quran that explicitly uses the word qibat, demands that Muslims must refrain from qibat or backbiting. وَلَا يَتَّبْ بَعْذَكُمْ بَعْذًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Do not backbite one another. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Of course not. You would hate it. This verse likens qibat or backbiting to eating the flesh of a dead brother. A very vivid description showing how distasteful backbiting is in the sight of God. Backbiting is a grave sin. It must be avoided. Now, when this verse was revealed, guess what? Muslims scratched their heads. They were wondering, is this verse tell us that every talk in the absence of a person is qibat? Right? So Muslims were confused. Is this verse telling us that we should never talk about another person in his or her absence? Well, this definition is too restrictive. If we say that aibat or backbiting means talking about somebody in his absence, this is too restrictive, too broad. Why? Because we often have to legitimately talk about folks who are not present. Just imagine, if you had to physically drag people into meetings in order to have a conversation that involves them. How about dead people? Let's say I need to talk up to my mom about one of our relatives who has passed on, and I may need to share something that is not very glowing or pleasant about that person. Nonetheless, I have to have this conversation because it's important. I need to make a decision and I need input from my mom. Is that backbiting? Now, it is reported that Muslims ask the Prophet Muhammad for clarification. O Prophet, what does this verse really mean? What does this injunction really say? According to one hadith or saying, the Prophet Muhammad addressed his companions. He asked them, "Do you know what backbiting is? Saying something about your brother which he dislikes. Saying something about your brother in faith, which he dislikes." Then somebody asked the Prophet, "What if what I say about my brother is true?" The Prophet responded, "If what you say is true, then you have backbidden about him. And if it is not true, then you have slandered him." So this is the hadith that you find in Islamic literature. Different versions of this hadith is everywhere in Islamic literature. But honestly, I don't think this hadith really settles the issue. I don't think it really clears the ambiguities about the boundaries of backbiting. Let me tell you why. First, this hadith ask Muslim, "Do not backbite your brother," meaning brother in faith, a Muslim. Well, does it mean that it's okay for Muslims to backbite non-Muslims? I really don't think so, but nonetheless, that seems to be what this hadith is indicating. The second thing is that it seems to me that speaking unfavorably about a person behind his back is just too broad. It's too broad. There are instances when we do need to talk about other people in their absence. This is legitimate. Let me give you a few examples and just pay attention to these examples. These are real world examples of some cases when we talk behind the person's back and what we say may not be, you know, very pleasant. First example, I tell my wife, "Honey, I have a concern about our daughter. I think she has lied to me several times recently." Here, obviously, I spoke unfavorably about my daughter behind her back. Did I backbite? Another example. Let's say I'm like Brother Farid and Brother Farshid. I own a large company. I hold regular meetings with my managers. In these meetings, we often discuss our competition. We will say things about them that are not exactly complimentary. Is this backbiting? Another example. Let's say I visit my psychiatrist because lately I've been having anxiety and depression. Well, when I go to his office, my psychiatrist asks questions about my past, my family members, so on and so forth. Now, as I open up, I say things about my family that are negative, even unpleasant. Is this backbiting? Another example. Let's say Darius, the most eligible bachelor in town wants to get married to Joanne. Darius wants to do due diligence to make sure that he and Joanne are right for each other. So Darius goes and talks to Mark, who has known Joanne for 20 years. Darius confidentially asked Mark for advice about Joanne. Now, Mark is a very ethical person. He wants to be truthful. So he tells Darius a few things about Joanne's habits that, let's say, are negative. Did Mark and Darius backbite? I can argue that none of these cases qualify as debat or backbiting. Parents do need to talk behind their kids' back to discuss their concerns. How else can parents address their kids' problems? In the business world, you can't invite your competitors to your internal meetings when you want to talk about them. In psychotherapy, patients need to discuss their intimate life stories with their psychiatrists. Patients will say negative, even nasty things about other people in their lives. The purpose of psychotherapy is to seek help, to seek advice, to heal from wounds caused by other people. You can't bring those other people into a therapy session. The patient needs to talk about others in order to present his situation. And also, as in the fictional example of Darius, we often need to seek advice, to consult with others. And consultation frequently involves talking behind other people's backs. In fact, in the early days of Islam, scholars debated qibat and backbiting. They realized that there are legitimate circumstances under which it is permissible to talk about people behind their backs. Muslim jurists, fuqaha, also chimed in and issued rulings. I don't have time to get into their rulings, but yeah, if you go and look at the books of fiqh, books of jurisprudence, you can find rulings of early jurists that identified instances where it is okay to talk behind other people's back. All right, so hopefully by now you have realized that it is not really very clear as to what constitutes qibat. Now let's delve deeper into the Quranic injunction on qibat and ask what is exactly considered qibat in Islam. What is it that Islam wants us to avoid? Let me repeat one more time. What is it that Islam wants us to avoid? What is the philosophy behind the Quranic injunction on qibat or backbiting? As I mentioned before, chapter 49, verse 12 explicitly uses the word qibat. If we read this verse carefully, word by word, I think it gives us clues into what constitutes qibat. So let's go over the entire verse. Ya ayyuha allazina amanu. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعد الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يقتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه فاتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. O believers, do not indulge many of your suspicions. Some suspicions are sinful. And do not spy on one another. And do not backbite one another. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? No, you would hate it. So, be mindful of God. God is ever relenting, most merciful. This verse identifies three vices, and they are mentioned one after another. The order in which these vices are listed is critical. I don't know whether you've ever paid attention to it or not. Three vices in order, and that order makes all the difference. The first one, the first sin, dhan, or in Farsi, badgamani, which in English means conjecture. Dhan, that is forbidden here, is conjecture, or baseless suspicion. Baseless suspicion. It's an opinion that we have formed without sufficient evidence for proof. So it's baseless. The second one, tajassus, which means spying, snooping. It's a bad habit that unfortunately many of us have. We snoop, we pry into other people's lives, perhaps to satisfy our curiosity and perhaps to dig up dirt on others. And third, qibat, which means backbiting. Again, the order of these three verses is not random. They are dependent on each other. Let's use John Doe as the example. First, John Doe forms a baseless suspicion about Jane, a suspicion that has no really basis. It's a conjecture. Then John pries and snoops into Jane's private life. He wants to validate his suspicion. And then he finds dirt on Jane and goes out and share it with others, which is a bat now. This verse clearly shows that a bat is more than just talking unfavorably behind someone's back. It's more than that. Qibat is not ordinary gossip. The Quran has a specific act in mind. Malicious talk. Malicious gossip. You remember initially I said gossip is a broad category of speech and conversation, and qibat, backbiting, is a subset of it. There you have it now. Not all gossip is necessarily malicious. Qibat, backbiting, on the other hand, is malicious. There is malicious intent involved in this act. Backbiter does not engage in an innocent or casual talk behind someone's back. He has, let's say, a grudge, or perhaps he is jealous, or maybe he has an agenda. He talks behind his victim's back to damage the other person's character or reputation. The backbiter deliberately spoils the integrity and dignity and reputation of another person. That is the crux of qibat, a deliberate attempt to tarnish another person's image or standing in the eyes of others. Now perhaps you can see why I did not call the example that I cited before as backbiting. You remember those examples? Darius, my daughter, or my managers in the office? The backbiter's intention is not to receive advice. His intention is not to heal a psychological wound he has suffered. It's not to collect information that would help him make more informed decisions in his life. No. The backbiter's motivation is to put down another person, to make him look bad. He may, the backbiter may do it in a subtle way, but deep down he knows what he is doing in that conversation. He knows. So in a nutshell, ghibat is certainly more than just talking behind another person's back. It is a talk that aims to tear down another person. One more time. It's a talk that aims to tear down another person. Again, the person, the backbiter, may do it in a subtle way. Nonetheless, that's what his motivation is. To tear down another person. That's why the Quran equates backbiting to eating the flesh of a dead brother. As I mentioned before, I can't give you a cheat sheet that covers every life scenario that would tell you what is and what is not ghibat in every situation. The onus is on you. The onus is on you and I as moral agent, people who are serious, hopefully, about leading an ethical life, right? So we need to stop and ask ourselves, do I want to talk about someone who is not present here because I want to tear him down? What is the purpose? Is it an ego call? Do I want to damage that person's reputation, perhaps to get even with him or to get ahead? Do I want to just feel better? Do I want to backbite just to feel superior? Do I want to talk about another person to sow discord between the absent person and the guy that I'm talking to? So this is an honest and truthful inner conversation, right? So that's what I mean by saying that the onus is on us, moral agents, to determine whether this particular conversation is backbiting or not. We need to stop and think. The reason I want to talk, let's say, my neighbor about another neighbor, is it because I want to tear down that other neighbor, or just do I really need to ask for advice? I need information to make better informed decisions. So, hopefully by now it's become clear to you what ghibat is and what the crux of it is, and the fact that not all gossip is necessarily ghibat. The Quran obviously has numerous other commandments for proper conduct. The Quran is full of commandments that teach Muslims how to conduct their daily lives. Commandments to use their tongue in a proper way, to use their hands and feet in a proper way, to use their reason and rational faculty in a proper way. So that's one of the main purposes for the revelation of the verses of the Holy Quran, to help people lead a healthier, more spiritual, more ethical life. For example, don't lie. Don't judge other people, right? Don't judge other people. Be fair to others. All these commandments also apply to our conversations with others. So it's not just this commandment in chapter 49, verse 12, that deals with backbiting that we should be mindful of when we're having a conversation. There are other commandments that need to be taken into account, that we should not lie, that we should not judge other people in our conversations. We should be fair to others. Now, let me share with you a few other verses from the Quran that teach us what sort of talks to avoid. What sort of talks to avoid? Please jot down these verses, or at least their address in the Holy Quran. These are the sorts of conversations that we should not have, the sort of talks we should avoid as ethical and morally upright Muslims. Chapter 17, verse 36. This verse is super, super important in the Quran. It has all sorts of implications for our daily life, including backbiting. Okay, here it is. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَسَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Do not pursue what you do not know to be true. Do not pursue what you do not know to be true. You remember that verse that I read before? It starts with conjecture, suspicions, right? A lot of times we have a suspicions and we want to pursue that. Is it true? This verse tells us don't do that. Do not pursue what you don't know to be true. Surely, ears, eyes, and the heart, all of these will be called to account. This verse does not say that you will be judged on the day of judgment. No, no, no. Individual parts of your body will be judged individually. So your ears will be called upon to report what you saw in your life. Your ears will be called to report. What did you hear? Your heart will be called upon to report. What did you entertain? In this verse, la taqfu, do not pursue, has two connotations. First, the first connotation is do not speak of things you don't know to be true. The second connotation, do not pursue, do not investigate private matters of other people in order to expose. Do not poke your nose in the affairs of other people. Chapter 24, verses 12 through 15. These three verses specifically deal with spreading rumors. Now, most gossip is all about rumors. So this verse tells us do not spread rumors. Let me give you the historical context for the revelation of these verses. Hypocrites, munafiqan. Hypocrites accused one of the Prophet Muhammad's wives of adultery. It was a lie, but they spread this rumor in Muslim community to create division and so discord. And then these three verses were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. Whenever such a rumor is heard, why don't the believing men and women think the best of one another and say, this is an obvious falsehood? When you take it up with your tongues, meaning rumors, when you take it up with your tongues, uttering with your mouths something of which you have no knowledge, you deem it a light matter, whereas in the sight of God, it is an awful thing. So spreading a rumor is an awful thing in the sight of God. God hates it. So check the source before you pass on a story. We live in the digital age. We get many emails and text messages every day that contain news or stories about other people. do not forward these emails or text messages unless you trust the good judgment of the sender or have verified the information. Remember, you can be spreading rumors or worse, sheer lies. Chapter 49, verse 6. This verse explicitly requires that Muslims check and validate the source of information before spreading it. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقًا بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. O believers, if a troublemaker brings you news, check it first, in case you wrong others unwittingly and later regret what you have done. So the verse is very clear. Check your source before you pass it on to others, because unwittingly you may harm other people. The last verse that I want to share with you, chapter 104, verse 1. This verse comes down really hard on those who poke their nose into other people's lives. Snoopers. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woo! وَيْلٌ. Whenever you come across this word, Arabic word in the Quran, وَيْلٌ, it means watch out. You are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. Vailun likulli humazatin lumaze. Woo unto every fault-finding defamer. Humaze is someone who finds real or imaginary faults in others behind their backs. It may be real or it may be imaginary, but it's the habit of this person to look for the faults of others. Lumaze means defamer, somebody that intentionally or unintentionally defames the reputation of another person by spreading rumors or lies. This verse is a vivid description of a morally screwed up person. A morally screwed up person. Someone who enjoys snooping into other people's lives to find faults and then broadcast it to the world. This person suffers from insecurity. He feels that he is not good enough. He knows he has a lot of faults and flaws. So, in order to forget about his own issues and flaws, he wants to deflect his flaws. How does he do it? By highlighting the flaws of other people. This is a sin. We should really avoid it. So I hope that this sermon was of some help to you to understand what backbiting or qibat is in Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.